jobs day. Do you have a job? Okay. The book Job, let us read chapter 1, whole verses. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 22, and key verse, chapter 13, 15, and chapter 37, verse 23, 24. Let us read chapter 1 alternatively, and let us read together key verses. Let me start. Job chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of the Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. And he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys. And he had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." Thus Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, and the Sabines attacked and carried them off, they put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." When suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house, it collapsed on them and they are dead. and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. And said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Amen. In 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I hope in him. I will surely defend my ways to his ways. 37:23-24. The Almighty is beyond our reach and exalted in power. In his justice and great righteousness, he does not oppress. Therefore men revere him, for does he not have regard for all the wise hearts. Amen. Do you like suffering? May God bless all of us. Honestly speaking, nobody likes suffering, but as long as we live in this world, we cannot escape from suffering. That's why our attitude, our response, reaction toward the suffering is very, very important. As you know, 66 books in the library of the Bible are not arranged in chronological order, but according to writing style or topics. Today's book, from today's book, Job, to Song of Songs, five books, starting with Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs, or Song of Solomon. These five books are poetry, poetic books. Means poetry style, poem style. And the book Job consists of 42 chapters. We read chapter one, only one. But this book consists of 42 chapters. And among these 42 chapters, the first two chapters, prologue, chapter one and two, and then the last five chapters, from chapter 38 to 42, these first two chapters and the last five chapters are prose, essay style. Then the middle part, from chapter 3 to chapter 37, this middle part is poem style, poetry style. Then as for the book Job, we do not know who wrote this book. We do not know the author of this book. But what we know about this book clearly is Job is not imaginary man. Job is real man who lived one time in human history like you and me. For example, in Ezekiel chapter 14, two times, three persons, Noah, Daniel, and Job in parallel are introduced as righteous men in their own time. It means if Job were imaginary men, it means also Noah and Daniel, imaginary men. But if Noah and Daniel are real men who lived in history, it means also Job is real men who lived in human history one time, like you and me. And the Job is maybe the earliest book in the Bible. Maybe in the time of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, in patriarchal time. We do not know exactly when he lived, but we can guess he lived in the period of patriarchs in the time of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph. There are some reasons we can get this idea. First, Job lived 140 years more after this event written in this book. It means his lifespan must have been close at least about 200 years. Abraham lived 175 years. Also in this story, Job's wealth, Job's possession is counted, measured in terms of animals, not money, not silver or gold, but animals, livestock. Also, just like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Job was the priest in his family. He offered burnt offering regularly for each of his children. Anyway, in this story, Job lost everything: his possession, his servants, his children, even his physical health. And then he wrestles with the question, why? This story begins with a heavenly debate between God and Satan, and moves through the three cycles of debates between Job and his three friends, and then concludes with a dramatic divine diagnosis of Job's problem. And then Job finally acknowledges the sovereignty of God in his life. After his acknowledging sovereignty of God, he received double size, more than he had before. As we read in chapter 1, the story begins like this. In the land of Uz, North Arabia, in the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. He was blameless, upright, righteous. He fears God, and he shuns escape from evil. And he had seven sons, three daughters, and he had 7,000 sheep, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, and so many, many servants. He was the greatest man among all the people at the time in the East. Then, one day, Satan appears before God, roaming, wandering. And God was so proud of Job before Satan, boasting of Job before Satan. Did you see my servant Job? There's no one on earth like him, Job. Then Satan, what is the meaning of Satan? Literal meaning of Satan is accuser. Satan's main job is accusing, judging. Then Satan challenges, accuses, saying, "Does Job fear you for nothing? Because you bless Job so much, especially materially, Job worships you. Job fears you. If you do not bless Job, he will curse you on your face, to your face." Then God said, "Very well, good, okay. Everything he has is in your hand. You can test him." And then immediately Job lost all things, all his possessions, even his 10 children. Then at this, he did not see. He is terrible suffering and situation. But in this, he did not commit sin. You know, after he lost everything, do you know, the first thing he did was what? worship God. After he lost everything, the first thing he did was kneel down on the ground and worship God. Shall you see? From verse 20 in chapter 1, at this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I came from my mother's womb. Also, this is your story, my story. Is that true? Everybody came naked without nothing. And naked I will depart. The true. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Verse 22, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. This is the story of chapter 1. And then in chapter 2, same thing happens between God and Satan. Again, Satan appears before God, and God was proud of Job before Satan. Still now my servant Job maintains his integrity, even though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. But again also Satan challenged and accused. Satan said in chapter 2, skin for skin. It means if you strike his body, he will curse you to your face. God said again, very well, good. His body, Job's body is in your hand. You can strike his body, but you must spare his life. Then immediately in chapter 2, immediately Satan afflicted Job with a terrible pain, terrible, terrible skin disease. From the soles of his feet to the top of his head. And Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped his whole body, sitting on the ashes. Even his wife, there's no name, his wife. Even his wife cursed his husband Job, saying, curse God and die. His wife said to Job, die. Hey, wives, can you say like this to your husband? Die. Job said to his wife, you are talking like a foolish woman. Then, in this situation, Job's three friends named Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar, best friends of Job, heard this terrible news about Job and came to Job to sympathize with him and comfort him. You know, when they visited Job, they could hardly recognize him. They could say a word except just crying, weeping, 7 days and nights. Because they saw how great Job's pain was, how great Job's suffering was. Then after seven days of silence, Job broke silence, cursing his birthday. Yes, until the end, Job did not curse God, but Job cursed his birthday. Not happy birthday, unhappy birthday. After this, his one of friends, Eliphaz, replied. Eliphaz replied, and Job replied. Another friend, Bildad, replied. Again, Job replied. And Zophar replied, and Job Job replied, this is round one in their debate from chapter 3 to 14. And again, after this round one debate, again, Eliphaz replied, Job replied, Bildad replied, Job replied, Zophar replied, Job replied. Round two in their debates from chapter 15 to 21. And again, in third round debate, Eliphaz replied, Job replied, and Bildad replied, Job replied, Zophar replied, Job replied. Round three debates from chapter 22, 31. There are three cycles of debates, three rounds, three cycles of debates between Job and three friends. Yes. Maybe I said already, maybe they were best friends to Job, you know. Of all who know Job, they were only ones who come to Job to sympathize with them, to comfort them. At first, they mourn in the 7 days of silent sympathy with Job. They confront with Job without talking behind his back. But as their debate is going on, they accused also Job, saying, you must be suffering. You must be suffering because you sinned. You must repent. You must repent. Your suffering proves that you did something wrong against God. First, they came as a best friend, comforter, sharer. But later, they became judges, instructors, and fighters. You know, their cycle of debates increase in emotional passion. I'm better than you. And Job said, I'm not inferior to you. They were fighting each other with tongues. And all the time, before those who are suffering, we must be careful not to be judge, instructor. Bible says, share those who are in need. Practice hospitality. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. And after these three cycles of debates between Job and the three friends, another person whose name is Elihu, maybe he arrived later, he joined them in the middle. He began to speak. His speech, Elihu's speech, is written chapters 32 to 37. Elihu was very angry with Job because Job did not repent before them, but justifying himself. Also, again, Elihu was angry with the three friends because they failed to prevail Job in their debates, because they could not refuse against Job. And then finally, in chapters 38 to 42, finally, God ends, God finishes, God closes by speaking to Job from the whirlwinds, from heaven. In his first speech, God reveals his power, his wisdom as creator and sustainer of physical and animal worlds. And Job responds by recognizing his ignorance and insignificance, unimportance. Job could not refuse against God. And then in his second speech, again, God reveals his sovereign authority, and challenges Job with two illustrations of power to control the uncontrollable. And again, at this, Job responds by acknowledging God's sovereignty, God's absolute authority. Imagine if Job cannot understand fully God's way in physical, in animal worlds, how then can he understand fully God's way in spiritual worlds? Actually, God makes no reference to Job's suffering directly. But Job can catch the glimpse of God's perspective. And after he acknowledged the sovereignty of God, he was restored double size. Shall we see? Last chapter, chapter 42, from verse 10, 30. First, he had how many sons? At first, how many sons? Seven sons. How many daughters? Three daughters. Then again, he received new seven sons, new three daughters. Already 10 children in heaven, not died spiritually, in heaven. Then received another new seven sons, new three daughters, to double size. How many sheep? At first, how many sheep? 7,000 sheep. 7,000 sheep. 7,000 sheep. How many camels? 3,000 camels. How many oxen? 500 oxen. How many donkeys? 500 oxen. Remember? Okay. Chapter 42, verse 10. Chapter 42, verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, this is a very important issue. Yes, Job had prayed for his friends who have caught himself so bitterly. Verse 10, after Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord made him prosperous again and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord has brought upon him. And each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. Verse 12, the Lord blessed the latter parts of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, exactly double size, 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, exactly double size, 100 yoke of oxen, exactly double size, 1,000 donkeys, exactly double size. Verse 13, he also had seven sons and three daughters. But what we must know in the study of Job, suffering itself is not central theme. Central suffering, human suffering is not main topic in the book of Job. Rather, the focus is on what Job learns from his suffering. That is the sovereignty of God of all creation. God is God all the time. We say God is good all the time. Yes, this is true. But before that, we must be able to acknowledge and recognize God is God all the time over his all creation. Who is worthy to be worshipped, praised, honored, appreciated, trusted, believed, recognized in any and all circumstances. Yes, I said at first time, nobody likes suffering, but as long as we live in this world, we cannot escape. We cannot shun from suffering. That's why Jesus says, in this world, you will have sufferings, tribulations, persecutions, difficulties, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. We can suffer because of our position or because of our disposition. But what is important is one same suffering can be two-sided coin. One same suffering may be viewed as coming from God to bring out best in our life. Also, at the same time, Satan can attempt to use this same suffering to bring out the worst in our life. Let me say again, the same suffering can be tested from God to bring our better and best. Also, this same suffering can be temptation from Satan to bring our worst or worst. It depends on our attitudes. It depends on our reaction and response to that suffering. That's why the Bible says in James 1 and 2, continually, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you confront all kinds, many kinds of sufferings, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance, patience must finish its course, its work, so that you may be mature, grown, and complete, perfect, and lack anything. Romans chapter 5 says, yes, we can rejoice. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but also we can be able to rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that in faith, our suffering produces perseverance, patience. Patience produces character. Character means a Christian mature character. And this Christian mature character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Yes, this morning in the study of Job, we must be clear. We must be clear. We must make it clear our attitude toward suffering. Why? Because as long as we are in this world, we cannot escape suffering, big or small. Even small boy, even Isaac, has his own suffering. He's telling his own suffering to his daddy. Okay. In conclusion, let me say at least eight benefits of suffering, or purpose of suffering. Why? Yes. God is, there's no question, no doubt, God is good. If you agree, you can respond, amen. God is good. Amen. God is righteous. Amen. God is so kind. Amen. God is wise. Amen. God is almighty. Amen. Then, if God is like that, why God allows his loving children to suffer? We must be clear to get answer to this question. Why do the righteous suffer if God is good, righteous, and almighty? Okay, let me introduce you and to be blessed each other. The purpose of suffering. The purpose of suffering. Number one, to produce fruit. To produce fruit. Yes, everybody can understand this lesson from natural world. It is not difficult for us to get the point from even natural world. Jesus says, unless a seed, you know, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. It produces trees and fruits. Yes, we know for seed to fall to the ground and buried under the ground is big suffering to the seed. But without being buried under the ground, no tree, no fruits. Do you agree? We say very easily, no pain, no gain, no cross, no crown, no suffering, no fruits. To get fruits, to produce, to bear fruits, we need suffering in this world. Number two, to make, who is your enemy? Who is our enemy? Satan, the devil. Our wrestling, our fighting is not against flesh or blood, but our fighting, our wrestling is against rulers, authorities, and dark age, Satan, the devil's evil spirit. Then to silence our enemy, Satan. As you know, in this story of Job, Satan once accused Job, merely worshiping him, fearing him, praising him because of many, many blessings involved in material. So God allowed Satan to torment his loving servant Job to demonstrate, to reveal clearly, publicly, that Job did not worship God because of material blessings, but because of who God is, simply clearly. It means through the overcoming of suffering, we can make Satan silent. Number three, to glorify our Father God. Yes, our final purpose to live in this world is to glorify our Father God, to give glory our Father God. You know, in the book John chapter 9, we can see this story. In chapter 9, as for a man born blind, a man was born blind. And as for this man born blind, his disciples asked to Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? But Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. This happened to him so that the work of God, the glory of God, might be revealed through his life. Also in chapter 11 of book John, as we know the story of Nazareth. Nazareth was dead. But Jesus said, his sickness will not end in death. This is the glory of God. This is for the glory of God. And Jesus encouraged them, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection, I am the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And he who lives and believes in me will never die. If you believe, you will see what? The glory, glory of God. And number four, to make us like Jesus Christ, our final example, our final model of what kind of man we should be. Philippians 3:10 says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Also, 1 Peter 2:21 says, to this you are called, because our Lord Jesus Christ suffered for you, leaving an example that you should follow him in his steps. Yes. Please remember, whenever you are suffering, meditate. Think over and over, ponder how much Jesus suffered on the cross for you and me. No matter how much we suffered, our suffering cannot compare to that suffering Jesus received on the cross. To make us like Jesus Christ in our character, in our attitudes, suffering is permitted by God as long as we in this world. Number five. To teach us dependence means to make us humble, to experience the power of God. You know, the story of Paul, yes, Apostle Paul, missionary Paul, was a great man of faith, great man of power. He performed many, many miracles by his faith, by his trusting in God. You know, he experienced to be caught up to the third heaven, receiving much revelation from God directly. Then in order to keep Paul from becoming proud or conceited, there was a sickness sown in his body. Then Paul pleaded with God three times earnestly to take it away from his body. But God's answer was to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. So my power may be perfect in your weakness. And then Paul confessed, yes, I will boast all the time gladly about my weaknesses, because I can be able to delight in my weaknesses, in my insults, in my persecutions or difficulties, hardships. Why? Because when I am weak, I am strong. When I am weak, I can experience the power of Jesus Christ through my weakness. Number six, to refine our lives. To prove our faith genuine, real, and true. Yes, we know. Do you like precious stones? Silver or gold, diamond? Crucible. The crucible refines silver. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, crucible refines silver, and furnace refines gold. Yes, everybody knows fire. Fire refines silver or gold and diamond. Like this, suffering refines our lives. Number seven, to rebuke our sins as punishments, discipline, to correct us, to return us into God. Yes, everybody knows. Parents knows. Imagine if your son or a daughter do something wrong, bad, you can rebuke. You rebuke or punish, sometimes hit, to correct your children. But if other children do something wrong or bad, we do not punish. We do not rebuke. Like this, Hebrews chapter 12 says, God receive us as his loving children, sons and daughters. Do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when God rebukes you, because God disciplines those he loves. God punishes his sons and daughters. If we are not disciplined, we are not children. God disciplines us for our good, so that we may share in his holiness, in his righteousness, in his joy. Okay. Last, let me say one point more. To enlarge our ministries to others. Bible says God is the God of compassion and all comforts. This is one of very important points. Yes, please remember, I said several times, nobody likes suffering, but nobody can escape suffering as long as in this world. It means everybody needs comfort. Yes, honestly speaking, I need comfort. I'm pastor, I'm leader in this room, but I need comfort. Also, you need comfort. Why? Because we are living all the time with sufferings. We are suffering means we need comfort. How about you need comfort? Is that true? Yes, everybody needs comfort. You need comfort, I need comfort, we need comfort. Everybody needs comfort, but remember that true comfort comes from only God. Bible says, God is the God of all comfort. I need comfort, but comfort cannot come from me. Do not expect comfort from me. All comfort comes from God alone. And how can we comfort others? Yes, I cannot give you comfort, but we can be a channel of God's comfort to others. When I'm suffering, I can experience comfort from God, and then I can comfort those who are in trouble with that comfort I have received from God. This is one secret why God allows his children to suffer in this world, to become the channel of his comfort to others who need his comfort. Please fear God, and you will be free from the fear of suffering. Are you fearing? Are you fearing suffering? Are you afraid of suffering? The key to overcome the fear of suffering is to fear God. Fear God, and we will be free from the fear of suffering. Amen. Shall we close our eyes And let us take some time individually to talk to God. Yes. Honestly speaking, nobody likes suffering. But as long as we live in this world, we cannot escape suffering. Big or small, we need comforts. Everybody needs comforts. Only comfort comes from God. When we suffer, we can experience comfort from God, and then we can comfort others who are in same suffering and troubles with that comfort we have received. So let us pray for this comfort, this compassion, this mercy from our God. And God is God all the time. Do not worry about suffering. Do not worry about suffering. Because God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Shall we pray together loudly or silently? You can speak in talking with God through your own mother language. No problem. Shall we pray? Oh, Lord God. Lord, yes, Lord, thank you for this wonderful message and wonderful encouragement from you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Lord, yes, Lord. No suffering. There is no suffering beyond our liberty. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Yes. 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 Father God, yes, our confession is you are God all the time. You are good all the time. You are so faithful. Father God, thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness is great. Your faithfulness reaches heaven. Thank you for your wonderful promise. No suffering has seized us except what is common to man, because you are faithful. Father God, also we believe without doubts whenever we are suffering. You provide ability, power, and way so that we may stand up under that kind of suffering. Because our Lord Jesus Christ finally, definitely overcomes all sufferings on the cross and shouted, "It is finished! It is finished!" Father God, help us to help others who need your comforts, need your compassion, need your mercy. We believe everybody needs comfort, but also we agree that true comfort comes from our Lord Jesus Christ alone. Please use us as a channel of your blessing, as a channel of your comfort, as a channel of your mercy and compassion to others more and more. Please enlarge our ministry area to others until your kingdom may be established in this world, until your will may be done on earth as in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.